Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to Titus, the third chapter. We'll read beginning at the fourth verse. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth, your word is truth. Amen. When I was younger and with my red hair and stuff, I kind of felt like, looking at all the celebrities out there, I didn't really have, like, there aren't too many, like, red-headed male celebrities to kind of look up to and be like, oh, that would be, you know, that's kind of the height of things. But I did think, well, there's Conan O'Brien. You know, he was late night. He was definitely rocking the red hair, and he seemed to be like, wow, comedian. He was on late night NBC back in the day and seemed like, well, that's got to be, you know, the pinnacle of what redheaded folk like me could achieve. The thing was, is eventually later on, he has like a podcast and stuff, but he was talking about this show, this episode of a show he had watched, where the main character in that show, it showed him everything he said to himself throughout that whole episode. It was very, very, very negative, and he kept calling himself, you know, oh, you stupid idiot, I can't believe, you know, you did that, and all these things that he felt bad about, depressed about when he messed up. And Conan was like, felt like he felt like that every day. And it's just kind of like shocking, like, wow, he, kind of the pinnacle again of redheadedness, seemed to be the top of the, you know, everything. Could have such negativity about himself. And so a friend was talking to me about this, and we thought, well, if Conan O'Brien can feel like that with negative self-talk every day, and I was like, well, I kind of sometimes, you know, a little negative and hard on myself too, you know, maybe this is something that this exists a lot more broadly. Have you ever had negative self-talk about yourself, second-guess yourself, felt bad about something you said or did? I think our text for today fits in because it actually helps us with that negativity and that negative self-talk, even though it might not appear so at first glance. But I hope we walk away from today's lesson seeing that it really does help with self-talk, especially when it highlights how the Holy Spirit creates a new reality for us. Because the thing is like, okay, if we've been doing the Lutheran thing for a little while, we're probably like, okay, I know I'm not saved by works, I'm saved by grace and things like that. And so it can seem like, done deal, have it figured out. But what I realized is when I'm kind of in my negative self-talk mode, when I'm kind of spiraling a little bit, that my works are in the driver's seat of that conversation with myself. As a Lutheran, of course, why should works be in the driver's seat of our life? But there it is. And I think that's a great challenge to us. Even though we believe we're saved by grace and not by righteous works that we've done, as our text talks about, that's not so easily done in our everyday life. That's not something we so easily, you know, keep internalized in the forefront when we're confronted by our works every day. You know, I can see other people and be like, oh, that's a really nice person. I'm not maybe that nice. Or that person sure seems positive or good at the job or seems to always have the right thing to say, and I'm kind of like, oh, I'm kind of fumbling every now and then. Why am I not a little better? Or maybe I'm not saying the right thing. Oh, that was kind of a mean thing to do, or why did I think that about someone? Can't you be a better Christian? And so once we kind of face all of these things in our thoughts, we can realize like, yeah, wow, I'm constantly evaluating myself. I'm constantly seeing my works before me. And, you know, that self-talk, even if it does correctly identify things that we've done wrong, because we certainly have fallen flesh and blood, but ultimately, it can make our whole existence revolve around our works. And I think that's how our text comes in to help us, because it talks about that we're saved not because of righteous works that we've done, but it talks about the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So in our day-to-day life, it's easy for works to be at the center of it all. But in our text, we see how the Holy Spirit comes in and ungrounds us from that reality. It's easy for kind of negative self-talk, these evaluations, to create kind of a horrifying prison of ourselves. But in our text, we see with this washing, God comes in and he breaks that open and he fills it with something far greater and far better with his Holy Spirit. He's changing the reality for us, because it talks about with words like regeneration and renewal. It's really talking about new life, new reality for us. And so when our reality is founded on and the works that are around us, the works that we've done, failed to do, this changes the conversation as a new reality is created for us with this washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. The new reality here is changing the conversation away from being kind of paralyzed by the things that we've done. And it helps us to realize how now that negativity, all those bad things, are washed away because of the Holy Spirit. When it uses that word washing, it's talking about baptism. In Acts, in the book of Acts, when Paul is converted, there's a line about get up, be baptized to wash away your sins. And so baptism is a washing. It washes away sins. And so with that baptism, things are different for us now. And that baptism isn't only a one-and-done thing. I mean, it is something we do once, but it's something that is continually presented to us again and again in God's Word to continually create a new reality for us and smash the sometimes very harmful and negative realities we might create for ourselves. And it does it with what the lesson talks about with Jesus here, when it says, poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And he's doing this because he's the one that can wash us, because he took all the negative things that we've done, all the negativity, all the sins, and Jesus taking that on himself. He had a perfect and positive life, but he took on our negativity. And he went on the cross so that all of that and all of our sins, everything wrong about them, could be taken onto him, and he forgave it. He took it away from us, he's washed it away, and made it gone. He's created a new reality for us, one where works is not in the driver's seat. It's not by righteous works we've done. It's a new reality that he's created with us being forgiven and washed and cleansed of sins and right with God. And that rebirth and renewal talk, it speaks of this resurrection we have first in faith, as God has worked faith in our hearts, and now we see everything differently. We have that new reality. But that is also going to reach kind of its full pinnacle in a resurrection the very last day. Just like Jesus rose again physically and had that ascension and all that, we have a resurrection of our own, a physical resurrection to look forward to because of this regeneration that we first received from God. And he's the one that has made us heirs of eternal life in heaven. It's all because of what he's done. And this eternal life is not something that's only far off, even though it is. It's something that is for right here and right now, too. You know, when we have negative inclinations and that negative self-talk and things like that come in, we have a different kind of talk to swoop in. We have God's talk. We have God's word that can come in and push back against that negative self-talk. So I hope that when you have a bad day or faced kind of that negative self-talk, that you find a solution in this text right in front of us with that gospel that comes in, and God's talk and God's spirit is more powerful than even our negativity, and it can push that away, and it does push that away. And maybe when someone around you is down, I hope that you can use this message of the gospel to help with that too. And even if avenues for evangelism, since I'm sure, you know, there's many people that struggle with negative self-talk or kind of that negativity, feeling down, and the gospel is so critical as a solution for that. And what a wonderful thing that God has given to us. I'm not going to pretend like, you know, kind of in one little sermon here, I'm going to like totally solve everything with that. I know that, you know, I'm probably going to go down and unvest and take this off, and I'm probably going to think to myself, oh, was my sermon too boring, or was it too long, or was it, who's not going to like it, or something, or that. I mean, that struggle is something that we will continually face. But I hope that when we do face it, and walking away from this text, we know we have God, the Holy Spirit, who's more powerful, who swoops in with his word. And his talk is bigger and better than our talk. And he's helping us, he's curing us, he saved us, and he's given us heaven. And he's going to help us every step of the way too. Amen.